Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I'll be back on Tuesday if my plane lands on time. Looking forward to flying in and out of TPA. I love our airport. I think we have the greatest airport known to man. My only complaint is that they replaced my friend Jack Harris's voice with Bob Buckhorn's.
What time's your flight getting on Tuesday?
11 a.m.
Okay, 11. You going home first?
Nope.
Oh, wow. That's dedication. You need a ride?
No, thanks, man. I'll park in short-term parking. Flying up Sunday. Back Tuesday. Seth and I are going to be emceeing at a Pirates of the Caribbean event on Saturday night in Sarasota.
Yeah, well, we don't have to dress like pirates, do we? Because we're...
It's funny. Tracy said, she had to find a wench costume for herself. I said, well, I'll be wearing a tuxedo since I'm an MC for the gala. And she said, that's totally fine. Whatever you wear,
oh,
you're good.
Oh, man, buddy. I can't get pirate gear.
Oh, you're good. Man.
Try it when you want to. I would do that for not gig, just to be a pirate on a Saturday.
Why don't you pretend that it's you that's MCing with Drew and go ahead and get me some gear.
Okay, I can do that.
It'll cost you a Buccaneer, though. So we'll be doing that on a busy, busy, busy weekend.
Hell yeah, and that event's from like 11 a.m. to like 11 p.m., right?
No, no, it's 6 to 10, oh. 6 to 10. And thanks again to Tracy and everybody over at Altman for getting us involved.
Yeah, I've got to cross the skyway, so thoughts and prayers.
Oh,
yeah.
Who's going to drive you?
Phoebe's driving.
I'm not worried about, yeah, of course she's driving me. I'm worried about how am I going to act like I'm asleep? Am I going to close my eyes, sunglasses on? Am I going to go live on Instagram for the people? I don't know what I want to do, but I'll definitely be terrified.
We are helping fight ALS. Our friend Kevin Swan has ALS, and he's throwing this event with his A Life Story Foundation. If you would like to donate, just look up A Life Story Foundation, and you'll find out all about Kevin and his fight against ALS. It's he's a very inspirational young man.
Yeah, he got it, I think, just 30 years old.
Yeah, and, man, you know, to see him and his wife, and now they have a daughter, I think, inspirational as hell. I was on the radio last night, and normally I'm not a big fan of, like, when I want to listen to a music station, I want to listen to music, right? But every once in a while, they'll come up with a special. Someone will have an hour-long special, and if I'm interested in the subject matter, I'll listen to it. So on the 25th anniversary of Kurt Cobain's suicide, which, by the way, is that one of those moments for our generations that you always remember where you were when you found out?
I think I might have been too young. It was what? It was 25 years ago?
Yeah, 94.
So I was, what, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't remember? You must not have been much of a 12-year-old Nirvana fan.
Were 12-year-olds into Nirvana?
Yeah.
I was forced to get into Nirvana when I worked at 97X for all those years. So
oh, yeah.
I learned about their whole catalog probably when I was 20.
Okay, because a lot of 12, 13, 14-year-olds, that's, man, they could relate to that.
I mean, I had that 12-year-old angst. I just didn't have Nirvana to help me through it.
Couldn't smell like Teen Spirit when you're not a teen. So I remember I was Ed Till's producer, and he was a big Nirvana fan because he loved jumping on bandwagons. And we found out during the show, I think, that they found a body in Kurt's apartment, but they didn't know it was Kurt's. It hadn't been identified as Kurt's for a couple of hours. An electrician, I believe, found it. And then I think Kurt had been missing for a couple of days, so you could kind of put together the dots. And then you got the confirmation that it was Cobain's body, and it didn't come as a surprise necessarily, because he had tried it before. He had escaped from a rehab center. There had been a couple of failed interventions, but still profoundly sad. And the reason I think I've been carrying around not resent or anger, because I didn't know the guy, but when you leave a daughter behind, an infant daughter, to be raised by Courtney Love by herself, granted, I don't know the demons that Kurt struggled with, that he tried to drown out with first heroin and then a shotgun, but I can't ever imagine anything being more important than being around for a kid that you brought into the world. I can't imagine that because I don't have that brain. But for years, I've had that kind of anger. Like, how could you do that? Because I thought Courtney was an awful figure. I thought that she was just exploitive of all of it. So last night, I listened to this cat, David Frick, who had interviewed Nirvana a couple of times for Rolling Stone. And he was interviewing Danny Goldberg. Danny Goldberg was Nirvana's manager. And because he was in his 40s when Kurt was in his 20s, he took on kind of like almost a father figure role for Kurt. And to hear him speak of Kurt in such endearing terms, it spelled out what a tortured genius this man was when it came to his band and the marketing of his band. That's the one thing I learned, is that Nirvana's success was not accidental by any means. Yes, they came along at the right time in the grunge revolution, but Kurt was very calculated in first going from Sub Pop, the Seattle indie label, to, I believe, Geffen or DGC, whichever label they went to, and becoming major label, quote-unquote, sellout superstars. People knock Courtney Love, myself included, because we think somehow Kurt was trapped in that relationship, but Danny Goldberg really made this point that Kurt loved Courtney so much, and she him, he hated that front role when it came to dealing with the media so much that he was more than happy to let her do it. Let her be the rambunctious one, the obnoxious one, the one saying the controversial things. And then behind the scenes, Kurt loved that and would laugh at it. And Danny Goldberg said, to the people who thought that she preyed upon him and would exploit him, he was a very strong-willed man, and he would stand up for what he believed in when he felt like he needed to. Very intriguing look back at a man who was very misunderstood, I believe. So I feel much better about the Nirvana legacy now.
Wow, you've celebrated his death all these years.
Well, yeah. Just because I was such a Foo Fighter dick jock rider that, you know, I felt like I had to. But you don't have to be Team Dave or Team Kurt.
So would you be willing to have Kurt back knowing that you could never have the Foo Fighters?
Yeah, wow. I would. My love for the Foo Fighters, not that it matters to anybody, but they're just another rock band to me now.
How did that happen? They were the only rock band on Earth, and now they're just a rock band?
Oh. That angst. Up, John, the date between the recording of this MTV Unplugged in New York and Kurt's suicide, because I believe it came within 6 months of each other, and it might even be shorter than that, because this is the final song on it. And you tell me that this isn't the shrieking wail of a tortured man drowning in his own success and having his head shoved under the water by his demons.
November was the date of the Unplugged. In April is when he killed himself.
5 months. So not that he needs my support for his legacy or anything, but hearing that one interview, and by the way, Danny Goldberg has a book out called Serving the Servant, and if he's doing any press for it, man, I would absolutely love to talk to him.
Are you going
to
tell me you've hated Nirvana all these years?
Not hated them. See, the weird thing was, I was working in college radio, okay, and college radio is all about the independent spirit, right? Like, you have these bands that no one's ever going to hear, and you play them, or bands that have a hardcore cult following, like Ween and Mudhoney and the Melvins and all these weird bands that never really get that popular, Sonic Youth, etc. And then Nirvana was one of those bands where we were all listening to the Seattle stuff. We knew Soundgarden was. They hadn't broken, and we knew who Nirvana was. They hadn't broken. They had this album, Bleach, that didn't really have quote-unquote hits. And then we get this little maxi single, and I remember our new music meeting, we put it on, and from the second, I mean literally the very second you heard this on CD, just knew. It checked every single mainstream grunge box, and you knew that the world was about to be taken over by Nirvana and the grunge sound. Very strange feeling. Almost not a betrayal, but it was like, well, we lost this one, you know? We lost this band to the mainstream.
I felt that way the first time I heard Hoobastank. They're still going.
The reason is you.
Hey, Drew Grubb Alive, who are you?
Hello, this is Sean.
Hi, Sean. What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to correct the record a little bit. Correct the record. In the Pines was not the final song on the Unplugged album. It was all apologies. But
you're wrong. Where Did You Sleep Last Night is track 14, and All Apologies is 13. I will now accept All Apologies from you.
Well, okay. If you're right, then I'll accept you.
But, no, there's no if, and, or but about it. You called to attempt to correct me on something that I was actually right about, which makes you the worst type of phone caller known to man, but at least you have a good sense of humor about it.
No, but I also wanted to thank you for finally coming around on the Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I don't need your gratitude, dickface. 727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025.
Yeah, he wants it from a babe, okay?
No, I finally came around. Yeah, I did. I finally let go of this stupid Kurt Cobain's a loser thoughts that I had.
Every time a Nirvana song would play over the years that I've known you, this is you. Ugh.
I know.
Every time.
I've always liked the Unplugged album, though. I'll go back to that one. But yes, every time I hear All Apologies or your favorite heart-shaped box... Mm. It's about Courtney's vagina.
No, he's deeper than that.
He's not. He's not. Heart-shaped box. It's about Courtney's Sneech. Snooch.
Well, I like that song, so maybe I'd like what she has to offer.
She looked a lot better in person than I thought she would. I had to cover her trial for the Ed Till show.
She's natural beauty.
727-579-1025. That was a moment, though, I think, where most people my age, you remember where you were when you heard the news because, oh, dude, and it led to when I thought my radio career was over for the first time because I was Ed Till's producer, right? And we find out on the show, it's a Friday, we find out on the show that Kurt dies, and I go home, and my first wife at the time was not real cool with the radio career and was not real cool with the fact that it would tear away at me sometimes on weekends and stuff. So around 9 o'clock, Ed calls me and he goes, dude, we're going to do a Nirvana retrospective tonight at midnight. We're going to play records. We're going to find interviews, even though the internet isn't a thing yet. And we are going to honor Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. I got plans tonight, Ed. He's like, what? What? Yeah, I can't do it. I have plans. Dude, I need you on this one. I need you on this one. Yeah, that's all well and good, Ed. I have plans. My wife would really, really pitch a bitch if I miss them. Dude, what? Click. I'm like, what the hell? My boss calls me 15 minutes later. Jay Clark, program director. We called him Popeye because he'd miss work to go sailing one day a week. True story. Popeye calls me. He goes,
Ed is telling me that you don't want to work tonight.
I go, no, I don't work Friday nights. I have plans. He wants to do this stupid Nirvana thing at midnight. I'm not down.
Well, Ed really needs you on this one.
I go, I'm very sorry to hear that. I have no contract. You have my moment of play. Who works for an hourly wage? My shift was done at 3 p.m. on. No, I cannot do it. Click. Ring. This is Ed Till. You are really screwing up if you don't do this for me. Yeah, I'd love to be able to help you out, Ed. Just really, RIP Kurt, but I'm going to mourn in my own way, not do it tonight. And so he did it with some other producer and took many passive-aggressive shots at yours truly. And a couple months later, I was working on the Phillips file, and I fell back in love with radio. But I thought I was donezo. I thought, and if I look back, I probably should have done it.
Well, I mean, what'd you have going on at midnight? You're going to be in a K-hole?
No, we had friends that were coming over. We were going to have some dinner. And at the time, I valued social time. I don't any longer.
That's a hell of a move to say I'm not going to go in, because how many people would go, we're absolutely done with you?
I know, a lot. And I can't believe I was able to advance past that. I shouldn't have. My radio career should have come to an end, but for the generosity of one Edward Till or Jim Phillips. Drew Grubb Alive, who are you?
Hey,
Hey, how you doing? This is Brian.
Hi, Brian. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I just want to talk to you about Nirvana. Right. First of all, first time caller. I love you guys' show.
Thank you, man. Welcome.
I love Nirvana, and at the time, I was quite younger, obviously. Oh. But if you look back and you look at the what had happened to him, a lot of people don't even know that he was so drugged up with heroin that they were saying that it's literally was physically impossible for him to actually shoot himself. So if you look at any of the books, any of the research, you Google it, look it up, and
I think
he was actually knocked off by his lovely wife.
Yeah, that's a lazy theory that people come up with when they don't know anything about their relationship.
That's been your theory all these years.
Yeah, I know, and then I was lazy in thinking that. The people who were close to Kurt and Courtney say that they loved each other, then I believe they loved each other, and someone who wants to achieve something can achieve something, and I think even in the throes of his heroin addiction, probably could have picked up a gun and shot himself. Thank you, though.
I think John was able to John was able to locate some audio of you talking about Nirvana in the past.
Why can't I live past a comment?
You can't. Well, you've got us almost crying over here because you just realized last night that you love Nirvana, and I don't know. I've respected them all these years.
But they came along at the right place at the right time, and they had a great drummer, Dave Grohl, who was way better than Kurt Cobain. Way more important in the world of rock and roll.
You don't like Nirvana?
They're all right.
You're letting their tail down.
I'm sorry.
Well, you think Dave Grohl's more important because he's been around a lot longer.
Exactly. He had the common sense to stay alive.
So if...
Okay, I think we've heard enough.
Wow. Wow, we really labeled audio well back then.
You guys are so good at labeling audio. That's my takeaway. And my takeaway is, man, I've been on Tampa Radio and long enough to have my words come back and bite me in the ass. That's pretty damn cool. I'm not going to lie.
Wow, nice find, John.
A kick out of that.
I didn't even have it in me to say it out loud or bring it to Drew's attention.
You.
I had to run it by. I had to get Seth.
You guys just did that silently without me knowing. That's well done.
Yeah. We also have like 12 more clips just like that
I'm
over
good.
The years.
No, so. I think that's enough. Hey, Squatch, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man.
Man,
how you been?
Heard from Squatch
right?
Forever.
Taking in.
Yeah, it's been a while. My work schedule changed a little bit. I just want to touch base. The playoffs are about to start. I remember last year you were rooting for the Cats, so who are we rooting for in the first round?
Jerk face. You are a jerk face, Squatch. I never rooted for the Caps. I simply was honest when I said they were the better team and they were going to win the series, and they did. Guess what? This year, I think we're the best team in the NHL. I think we're going to win it all, okay? How about that?
They are. They're looking good.
Tampa win cup. And start this Tampa win cup movement for the Tampa not to win the cup. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Well, I don't know. Hey, who knows? Other team wins a game or two. We know. We don't know if we have you for the whole playoff.
You've got me. I'm ride or die. Drew Grubb Alive. Hello. Who are you?
This is Josh.
Hi, Josh. What's up?
Hey, I just had a story for you. This girl, she would only have sex with me if I spread frosting on her. She was a prostitute.
Yeah, see, part of the beauty of the things is you don't say the thing
that
you're going to say.
Yeah, people don't get that.
Yeah, God, don't ruin it for us.
I appreciate that was a short story, though.
The proper way to do that, I think, would have been to say, like, I dated this girl. She had an addiction to Duncan Hines, and she would only have sex with me if I made a cake and then ate it off of her. She was a real prostitute.
I actually think I saw Joey Flash pull that one out on Twitter a couple days ago, too. So
this prostitute?
Yeah, he's...
So that guy's even worse now. 727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. I used to have sex with this girl who would only, and gosh, I don't think you guys will get this because you're too young. She would only be aroused when we would play this yard game. It was like a tic-tac-toe with beanbags, and you'd throw the beanbags and you'd try to thing. That's the only way she'd be aroused. She was a real toss-a-crostitute. There was a game called Toss Across.
That sounds fun. I love Connect Four, and I also love throwing beanbags.
Well, if you like Connect Four and throwing beanbags, John, you'll love Toss Across.
Dude, I got to tell you, we're playing Connect Four like once a week in my home.
Do you ever play the giant Connect Four games when you go out to those?
I'd love to get one for the house one day.
I liked Connect Four. It was a good game.
It's just like a fun, easy game, you know?
Drop the checkers in there. Yeah. Well, Toss Across, it's like cornhole. You put it in a good distance away from you. And you each take turns with the beanbags, and you try to get X's or O's. Toss across.
That looks fun.
Toss across the toot. Drew Grubb Alive, who are you?
This is Earl.
Hey, Earl. His name is Earl.
I just passed the house in Hudson here, and on their fence they had blue solo cups that said, Tampa Win Cup!
Yeah. There is a Hudson house that has Tampa Win Cup. So we got a house in Hudson. You got Bullfrog Creek Brewery.
Yep, out in Valrico.
In Valrico. Some dude made us a little sign thing today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's in the office. A guy drew Amelie Arena and a couple of characters.
Oh, wow, that looks good. Yeah, that sounds cool.
It is cool. And then our friend Kelly, of course, made us this banner that hangs behind the show on Drew Grob, Bone TV, boneonline.com. The movement's really, really taking off.
Let's not forget we got Charlie Belcher in our corner. We got the great Paul Jen Delgado, Epstein. Jen Epstein. Yep. I mean, Fox 13 seems to be on board.
I will say, not a fan of the channel, but Eagle IWFLA, their helicopter, gives us Tampa Wind Cup shout-outs time to time. So, you know, that's very nice of you, helicopter.
Hey, is it okay if I go down and get my smoothie from Phoebe?
Sure, yeah, beat it, pal. Thank you. We'll do It's Okay, It's Not Okay when you come back. Now let's dick off while he's gone.
Yeah, hell yeah.
We'll just do nonstop Orange Fabio and juicy raps.
I'm just going to beat my wiener on the mic for the next 10 minutes.
Can you have a hook that says beat my wiener on the mic for the next 10 minutes?
Yeah.
You think you come up with that over Matt Real Stranger's new beats? Yep. All right, I got the beats. Go ahead, sir. Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go.
Okay, yeah. My ex-girlfriend up in PA would only bag me in the snow. She was a prostitute.
Friday afternoon, what you like? Gonna bang your wiener on that mic. 4x Friday, gonna get this started. Gonna get on the mic and stink like I just farted. But I didn't, cause I got that Beano on top of my food. If I farted in front of you, you know it would be rude. But Orange Fabio come in, you know he got that hook. You know I'm in the kitchen and you know I love to cook.
Yo, Seth Kush, we on strike. We beating our wieners on that mic. Hey, Seth Kush, we on strike. We beating our wieners on that mic.
We ain't gonna work. We ain't Captain Kirk. You don't like that Steve Martin in The Jerk. Said don't trust Whitey, cause he just can't be trusted. I'm on this microphone and you know that I lusted after many different women of many different sizes. Reach into my pants if you want some surprises. Some they might be big and some they might be girthy. I can tomahawk dunk like my name was James Worthy. Tell him, Fabio.
I got a little bar, I think.
Oh, spit it.
I think Galvin will be mad when he finds out I beat the mic with my wiener like my dad used to. Beat me, see me, and treat me. I see a cupcake, it says, come eat me.
You eat that cupcake, I ain't no pup fake. I put a move on your ass and throw you in the lake. The lake is eerie if you living in Ohio. After I get done rapping, you say, oh, why, don't you rap a little more like Dinosaur? You know Burt Reynolds banged that old whore. But medium boozy Truzy's gonna get on this mic. She gonna do it like the shoe company called Nike.
Oh.
Ship, I am the ill captain. You can smell asparagus pee because of something called mercaptan. I looked it up in the book way back in the day. Now my man Orange Fabio, he got some words to say.
We on strike.
What?
We on strike.
What?
I'm gonna take my wiener and put it on that mic.
What?
Hey, Seth Kush.
What?
We on strike.
Not working.
I take my wiener and I beat it on this mic.
Right, Galvin, be mad when he smells your wiener. Now I'm dancing on this microphone like a ballerina. I can do the plie, I can do it in my tutu. Shout out to the people who do not smell like doo-doo. Shout out to the bishop, Desmond Tutu. Although I think he dead, uh-oh, that was rudu. Beat that wiener on that mic. Beat that wiener on that mic. Beat that wiener on that mic. When Seth Kush gone, we gonna do what we like. What? Beat that wiener on that mic.
on that mic. Beat that wiener on that mic. Beat that wiener on that mic.
What? Beat that wiener on the mother loving mic. Hey, Seth, welcome back. We didn't even break.
What the hell? How long was that going on for?
I don't know how long you've been gone.
Like literally the second you walked out the door, all we did was beat our wieners on the mic.
Dude, a guy's got to eat here. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, enjoy your smoothie. We'll be right back with It's Okay, It's Not Okay. The Tampa Bay area has voted to keep an unfair policy in place for like the next 15 years, and we don't think it's okay.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.